You have another. You have another that gives you honor. But oh, let that other one so fill our hearts and our lives that out from us can come an honor you can receive, a glory that you can receive. You said, Lord, that which is earth is earthly, but that which from above is heavenly. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Father, so fill our hearts with that wonderful Spirit of Christ, that He will be so wonderful to us. There will be no great strain to glorify Thee and bless Thee. It'll be the most natural thing in the world. For that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And the praise and the honor and the love and the glory and the song that is born of the Spirit is Spirit. And there's no strain to it. For it's of its own nature. It's of its own realm. And Lord, that which is not of Spirit, how can it ever ascend? How can it ever come before Thee as a sweet-smelling savor? Oh, fill us, Lord, with that Spirit. We might truly glorify Thee and bless Thee and be a blessing. Father, we ask, let that name be so sweet to us, so beautiful, so glorious. We might exalt Him. We might exalt Him with all of our hearts. We might exalt Him with all that is within us. That might be our desire, to lift up that wonderful and glorious and precious name. To the book of Hosea. Verses 1 and 2. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn, and He will heal us. He hath smitten, and He will bind us up. After 2 days will He revive us. In the third day He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. The Lord's been speaking to me from this, as especially to this small portion of His body, His church, His wonderful church. I'd like to look at it a little bit more in depth. First of all, just that first word, what a beautiful word. Come. That word of invitation. The Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. Jesus says, come. The invitation is there. He so often said it throughout Scripture. When Peter saw Him walking on the water and was frightened at some apparition, some evil spirit, if it's you, bid me come. He said, come. That's all. Just come. The invitation is so often given by God. He knows how fearful we are. He knows how ignorant we are. He didn't even say how to come. Because if He did, it would be so easy for some to come that way and so difficult for others to come that way. And so He just left it open. Come your way. But come. Just come. I'm reminded again of David Brainerd, that great missionary to the Indians in the early part of our history of our country. How he struggled and struggled to reach salvation. He just couldn't find a way. He was angry with God. He went through a period that he said, God is unfair. God is unjust. He tells me to come and he doesn't say how. What am I going to do? How do I do it? He tried this. He tried that. He tried fasting. He tried praying. He tried everything he could think of and nothing worked. And then, after several years, one day he was standing in the kitchen and his mother went and called his younger brother. And he was out of ways. Told him to come here. And his younger brother turned around. Played with his dog. Walked through a mud puddle. Went over and scattered the chickens. Went over to the duck pen. Wandered hither and thither, but always coming. And suddenly he realized it was quite all right. The mother wasn't unhappy. She hadn't told him how to come or how quickly. She just said, come, and he came. And it reached his heart. That's why God didn't say to come, just come. Anyways, all right. He said, all right, Lord, I'm coming. Next Sunday when they have the Lord's table, the communion service, I'm coming. And he did, and that was the end of it. That was his way. Now don't try his way, it won't work. That wonderful invitation of God, come. He knows our ignorance. He knows if he'd said, come this way, as I said before, some would just fall right into it, be just like you are. And others would have such a difficult time trying to do it that way. Just wouldn't fit the personality, the understanding, the character. He said, come. I can't spend too much on that beautiful word, but it is a beautiful word. Every time I hear the Spirit say it, every time I hear it in song, I love it. Jesus stood that day. If any man thirst, let him come. Just come. A full-fledged, wide-open invitation. Anyone's thirsty, anyone's hungry, anyone's needy, come. What more can he do? And yet it's hard for us. It seems like when we would come, there's a lot of things holding on to us, doesn't it? There's a lot of things to hold us back. Fears. All kinds of fears. Doubts. And especially if the Holy Spirit's dealing with us and drawing us and inviting us in the light of His wonderful presence, we also see how ugly we are. How unworthy. How completely unworthy. And we have the tendency to say, surely he can't mean me. Surely not this way. Surely I have to get fixed up first. Surely I can't come now. Surely I'll have to do something. Surely this. And we start making excuses. Until he would say, well, can't you come the way you are? Let me deal with it. Can't you just come that way? As the old song has it, just as I am. Without one plea, but that thou bidst me come to thee. What a glorious word. What a wonderful word. Come. Let us return unto the Lord. Let us return unto the Lord. And then look. For he hath torn. Come, let us return unto the Lord. He hath torn. Don't turn to your own devices. Your own ways of fixing things up. Your own means of restoration and your own means of getting things all set right. Let's return to the Lord. It's He that has torn us. That's the strong word. It means to tear in pieces. And hasn't He? Hasn't He torn us? Hasn't He torn families apart? Hasn't He torn loved ones apart? Hasn't He torn children out of their homes? Storming? We say the devil did it. But God doesn't say the devil did it. Over in the book of Job, we're allowed to peek a little bit behind the curtain. And we saw the devil and God there in converse. The devil said, let me at him. God says, all right, I will, but I'll set the bounds. And the devil did it. But Job never saw that. He saw God. Second chapter, 10th verse. He says, what? Shall we receive good at God's hand and not evil? It's the Lord that has done it. Oh, he had a concept of the ruler of the universe ruling this earth. Regardless of what servant he used, whether he used the Sabians, whether he used an earthquake, whether he used a hurricane, well, he used the devil. It didn't make any difference who or what he used. He did it. And Job had a revelation great enough to know that God did it. He said it wasn't the devil. It wasn't the Sabians. It wasn't the enemy. It wasn't the hurricane. It wasn't the cyclone. It wasn't the tornado. It was God. And I'll receive it from His hand. He has torn our peace away from us. Oh, how he had to tear some in order to get them to return unto God. In order to get us turned around so that we would come to God, so we'd meet God. And meet Him in spirit, and meet Him in truth, and meet Him in reality. And not in some religious ritualism way off there someplace. An unknown God. Paul met the Athenians, and he spoke to them about the altar they'd raised to the unknown God. You know, there's many altars, there's many churches raised today to the unknown God. They don't know Him. John said that to the Jews. There's one standing in your midst whom you know not. He came unto his own received him not. Job knew Him. Come, let's return unto the Lord. Let's return unto Him. That's why the tearing. That's why the tearing away from help, the tearing apart of all kinds of difficult problems. How much tearing had to come before at last we'd hear the invitation of the Spirit in our desperation and our emptiness and our hopelessness. We'd hear at last the invitation of the Almighty. Come, I have torn. Can't you see it's been me? And I will heal. I will heal. I've just torn so you'd come to me and let me do the healing. I'll restore it all. I'll wipe it all out. I'll bring it back. I'll bring you into a joy you never had before the tearing began. I'll bring you into peace you never dreamed you could have. I'll bring you into a healing that was so far above the health you used to have that you will never lament. You will look back and say, it was worth it. It was worth it. Come. Return. I've done the tearing. He goes further. He has smitten with a rod of correction. It's been of Him. Oh, I hear so often and I see so often Christian people, but they never see God. They'll see a devil. The devil's bigger than their God is. The devil did that. The devil did this. The devil did something else. Oh, he might have enjoyed having his foot in it, but it was God that did it. And he takes the responsibility. He says, is there a tumult in the city and I haven't done it, saith the Lord? He's responsible. He doesn't hide from his responsibility. But he says, I've only done it to bring you. I've only done it so you would hear my invitation. I've only done it so I could get you to come. And then I would heal and I would bind up. That's why I've done it. Oh, I wonder if you look back in your life. I wonder how many of you can look back to some very severe tearings. How many can look back to some very severe smitings before that wonderful, beautiful word could sink down into your spirit until you could get desperate enough and empty enough and still enough you could hear a word, come, I will heal you. I will bind you up. How deep did it have to go? Oh, for some, I know it went very deep. But the deeper it went, the more glorious the healing. He said, I will heal you. After 2 days, that's not specific. After 2 days, a day for a year perhaps. After 2 years. And it seems to me in my observations of dealing over the period of many years, it seems to me that it takes about that long to get things put together. It took Paul 3 years after he was torn asunder from all the comforts and securities of his religion and found himself totally empty and deluded and an enemy of God. Took him 3 years to get sorted out, didn't it? Out in the desert. It takes about that long. After 2 days, after there's been that time of somehow getting everything organized, God didn't say he'd give an instantaneous healing. In fact, I found very few cases where he even tries to do it that way. He says, I will heal, I will bind it up. After 2 days, he says, he will revive us. He'll bring back the life to us. He'll bring it all back. He'll restore it all. He'll bring it all back into me. And in the third year, he will raise us up. We shall live in his sight. In the third year. It seems to take, as it were, it seems to take that three periods. A day is a period, isn't it? It seems to take those three periods before he can really begin to raise up and establish. Things become secure. Oh, I've seen people, they've had wonderful experiences. And then they went back into the circumstances they were in and it wasn't established. It didn't stay. We have found it takes a while. We found it takes a time for people to begin to understand what God's desiring, what he's wanting to do. What the whole purpose of his plan of redemption is. How it's not just a rescue effort. So many people think it's just a rescue effort. That God somehow lost control of things in the Garden of Eden. Perhaps he was taking a nap. Perhaps he was occupied with some distant star. Perhaps he was dealing with some angelic problem. And the devil slipped into the Garden of Eden and wrecked it all. And then he had to start a rescue effort. No, no, no. Far be it from such. Far be it from God. It isn't just rescuing a man from hell. It's a thousand times greater than that. Yea, 1,000, 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. For he is taking out of the crude dust, out of the clay of Adam's seed, and making sons of the Most High God. Making those that can stand on Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the place the devil tried to get to and fell trying. He's preparing the inhabitants of Mount Zion, the sides of the north. He's doing a great thing, a marvelous thing. It's not just a rescue effort, as so many think it is, and they get rescued some way or another, join a church, and drift along the best they can, and never seem to hear the great invitation of God. Come, return unto the Lord. Unto the Lord. Let him do the reviving. Let him do the raising up. Let him do the establishing. Let him do in such a way that he can make you live in his sight, in the sight of God. Elijah said, spoke of God, before whom I stand, he said. God before whom I stand. He was made to live. He was raised up and made to live in the sight of the Almighty. That's what God is desiring to do. His plan is so great and so glorious, and he wants to do it in you. But mind you, it won't be done if all you can see is a rescue effort. That's all you can see. It's returning to your own devices. Return unto the Lord. Seek him. Draw near unto him. Let your heart be instructed by the Holy Spirit. Don't be a Martha. Mary sat at his feet and heard his word. Heard his word. Have you heard his word? Have you heard him speak? Do you even know his voice? I found most people don't even know the voice of God. They don't know God. They don't know God at all. Jesus walked in the midst, and they didn't know him. Jesus said to the woman at the well, if you knew me. Many years ago, shortly after revival in Argentina, I was in the United States, I was in the city of Springfield, Missouri. And I had heard by a fellow missionary that there was a man from India who knew God. His name was Robert Cummings. And I said to myself, if I ever get the chance, I want to meet that man that knows God. And there was my opportunity. He lived in that city. I went to his house. He opened the door when I knocked. I presented myself. I said, you don't know me and I don't know you. I said, I'm a missionary from Argentina. And I said, I've heard that you are a man of God. I want to ask you one question. It may take you only a few minutes to answer. It may take you a couple hours. He said, well, come in. We went in, sat down in his living room, and then he asked me, well, what's your question? I said, my question is, Reverend Cummings, do you know God? Oh, yes, he said. I was saved in a Presbyterian church, and I went out to India as a missionary, and I was baptized with the Holy Spirit and left the Presbyterian church and stuff. I said, no, that's not my question. I said, I've been filled with the Spirit also. I said, we have just come from revival in Argentina. I've heard you know God. Do you know God? He looked at me, and then he said, that's another question. We talked for 8 hours, had a lovely time. What if someone appeared at your door and asked you that question? Would you flippantly answer like he started to? Would you even know the difference? Or do you know God? Come, let us return unto the Lord. He has torn, he has smitten. He wants to revive, and he wants to raise up so you can live in his sight. So you can be one of those that will sit at his feet and hear his word. You'll know his voice. You'll know when he speaks. You'll know what he's saying. Martha never heard his voice. He was in her house. He sat in her living room. He ate at her table. And she never heard him. She never heard his word. She talked with him. Mind you, she talked with him. And she never heard his word. But Mary sat at his feet and heard his word. And it was said, what she has will not be taken away from her. She'll keep that. And it's interesting, isn't it? Interesting that Mary of Bethany never went to the tomb. She was the one that didn't. She heard his word. She knew what it was all about. She didn't have to go. Come. What an invitation. Come. Let us return unto the Lord. We've gone our own way. We like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own ways, even to his own ways of religion, to his own ways of life. Let's return unto the Lord. He has torn. He's been the one that's torn our peace. He's been the one that's upset our life. He's the one that's caused these things to happen. He's the one that's trying to get our attention. He said, I'm the one that's ruling this earth. God is the king of the earth, the psalmist says. He's ruling things. He's at work. Do we see him? Do we blame our neighbor, our friends? Promotion cometh not from the east or from the west or from the south. Promotion cometh from the Lord. Oh, no, it doesn't. It comes from Brother so-and-so because he's her favorite. We don't see God. We see man operating. We see man doing his things. We don't see God. Robert and I was very interested. It was over in England. I remember there was a very, very strong socialist, and so strong it was practically communist, very, very left, that was struggling in the government to take over everything. And they went quite a ways until reaction came and Thatcher moved in, but there was a time when it was nip and tuck if that nation would ever get out of this terrible serfdom it was coming into. And then the government eased up a little bit and they knew they had a little time. But meanwhile, the socialists were getting more power and going more and more and more communistic. The whole nation was in trouble. And then they had a war. A war. That evil man, Galtieri. He's the one that stirred it all up. He's the one that did it. He's the one that hated him. He's the one that said, we're going to throw him out. We'll kill him off. But you know what that war did in England? It completely liberated them. Turned the whole country around. It was a tremendous blessing to them. Tremendous blessing. We laughed and said, what will Galtieri think when he gets on the other side and see he was the best friend the English had? Do we see man or do we see God? Who's at work? He said, I'm the one that does it. He has torn and he will heal. He has smitten and he will bind up. He's the one. Job saw that. Can you see it? Can you see it? Can you see God, even in everyday circumstances? Can you see God at work? Can you see it, the Holy Spirit at work? I had a friend one day in the ministry. He was driving along the highway, and his car stopped. I just stopped. The motor quit. He said, well, it's God. I wonder what he wants. So he sat there in the car for a little while and said, Lord, what do you want? What are you doing? What did you make my car stop for? How silly can you get? And as he waited, he felt the Lord said, go to that house. He said, well, I guess I can go there and call for help. So I knocked on the door. And the man met him in tears. He just had some very, very bad news. Well, the upshot of it was before he left that home, he'd been able to lead them both to Christ. Went back to his car, turned on the ignition, it went fine. Drove on home. Can we see God? Or is it always natural? Always the natural's at work. We don't see God at work. He said, I'm the one that's doing it. And I have a purpose. I want to bring you to the place where you're so healed, you're so restored. All the tearing, even not a scar will be there. Not a spot, not a wrinkle, not a bruise. All will be healed and restored. Your whole personality restored. Far more than ever was before. Not only revived, but raised up, if you please. More than revived. Raised up, established, and able to stand in the sight of the Almighty God. That's what he's wanting to do. Can you see his purposes? Can you see further than the end of your nose? Can you see further than the four walls of your house? Can you see further than the boss on your job that's critical or crotchety? Can you see further than the things that are bothering you? Can you see perhaps back of it? There's someone that wants to get my attention and reach me. Let me hear the word, those wonderful words, come. Return unto the Lord. He's done this, and he will heal. Father, you want to do a work in these lives. That's what you brought them here for. So many, Lord, have been bruised. So many have been wounded. So many have been hurt. So many, Lord, have been torn. Their lives torn apart. Their homes torn apart. Their health torn apart. Their peace, their whole life apparently in ruin. You said, but I did it. Because I want you to come to me and get healed. And Lord, you've even brought us together because you want to make a stand in your sight. You want to raise us up, established, upright, healed, restored. Master, who can understand these things? Who is like unto thee? Who is like unto thee, O Lord among gods? Who is like unto thee? Cause us, Lord, to understand. It's been you. It's been you. You were at work. You were there all the time at work. It wasn't the devil. It wasn't a man. It wasn't a government. It wasn't an institution. It was you. And we wouldn't see you. We saw man. We saw devils. We saw dark influences. We saw all kinds of things except you. With a rod of correction, bringing us to yourself. So we might come to you, O God, O Lord amongst gods. Who is like unto you? Open our hearts and understanding that we might lay hold of the light of the revelation of the Almighty God, the glorious King of all, King of kings and Lord of lords. Forgive all our myopic sight. Forgive our short-sightedness. Forgive us, Lord, for seeing only in the natural, never seeing you at work. Forgive us, Master. And open our eyes to see something so far greater. Let there be a healing. Oh, a wonderful healing. Let there be a restoring. Let there come into our hearts, O God, that complete restoring. I ask in your precious and wonderful name.